of Truth, program number 275.
The unhappiest people I've ever known are those who lacked self-discipline. The Bible warns of a time, possibly a description of the time in which we live, when undisciplined men shall be railers, unholy, without natural affection, without self-control. I'm convinced that man has a choice, discipline or disaster.
Am I a soldier of the cross, a farmer of the Lamb? And shall I fear to on this cross or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried through the skies on cloudy beds of ease, while love is fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Sure I must fight in Jesus' name, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word.
This is Herald of Truth with Batsel Barrett Baxter, who presents at this time the second in a series of discussions dedicated to the biblical truth that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Today, speaking on the general theme, Christian attitudes, Mr. Baxter's message is entitled, Discipline or Disaster? And now, here is Mr. Baxter.
There are some words which immediately call forth a positive, affirmative, favorable reaction. Holiday, vacation, gift, exciting, happiness, fun, and of course many others. And then there are other words which are less popular. Work, sacrifice, duty, responsibility, and discipline. Discipline especially is a word which is out of step with our time. Ours is a permissive, indulgent age. It's an age emphasizing no controls, no restraints, and no limitations. Both external and internal restrictions are quite unpopular. We can see evidence of this in such concrete matters as the rising crime rate, which according to the FBI is increasing some 10 times faster than our general population growth. We can see it also in the disturbing growth in the use of alcohol and other drugs. There are ever-increasing demands for more and more luxurious living. Luxurious apartments, fine cars, expensive clothing. Well, these are indulged in by millions of people who cannot really afford such luxury. There's an ever louder demand for less and less work, the shorter work week. And along with this demand for less work is a demand for more and more entertainment. Mixed in with all the rest, there's the increasing rejection of all forms of authority. This decline in discipline is America's greatest social problem, in my judgment. This has led me to want to speak on the theme, discipline or disaster. To many, this matter of unhappiness among those for whom anything goes is paradoxical. I want to talk with you about this paradox, but first let's listen as our young people sing of man's need for God.
I need thee, O
beginning, I mentioned the unhappiest people I've ever known are those who lacked self-discipline. On the other hand, the most mature, best adjusted, happiest people that I've ever known have been highly disciplined. My own experience runs along the same line. The happiest times in my life have been those when I worked hard and long for some worthy goal and then achieved it. While it involved sacrifice, hard work, and much discipline, it was worth all that it cost. The unhappiest times, the most unfulfilling or unsatisfying times, have been those when I was lazy, or self-indulgent, or selfish. It's a surprising thing. It's truly a paradox. When we spend our time satisfying our own desires, doing what we want to do, we soon find that we're bored and dissatisfied. But when we're working energetically in some worthwhile cause or for someone whom we love, even though it may involve sacrifice, long hours, and heavy discipline, it's rewarding and fulfilling. I think this is at least something of what Solomon was trying to tell us long ago when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Notice the self-centered, indulgent emphasis in this passage. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and parks, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water, to water therefrom the forest where trees were reared. I bought men servants and maid servants, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of herds and flocks, above all that were before me in Jerusalem. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the treasure of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced because of all my labor, and this was my portion from all my labor. Then I looked on the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Solomon is the classic example of all time of one who sought happiness through self-indulgence, but who found instead misery and disappointment. In sharp contrast to the life of ease and indulgence is the disciplined life of the Apostle Paul. Idleness and inactivity were unknown to him. His strong drive was motivated by his intense loyalty to Christ. On one occasion, he compared the living of the Christian life with the disciplined training involved in sports activities. Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Even so run, that ye may attain. And every man that striveth in the games exerciseth self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, as not uncertainly. So fight I, as not beating the air. But I buffet my body, and bring it into bondage, lest by any means after that I've preached to others, I myself should be rejected. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Walking with God demands personal sacrifice, the sacrifice of things not necessarily evil, but which prevent a full commitment to God. In an age of luxury such as ours, Paul's words have real significance for the serious-minded follower of Christ. In this connection, we remember Christ's own words, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me," Matthew 16. Among the ancient Greeks, Socrates was one of the wisest of the philosophers, and it was he who said, "Know thyself." This is important if one's to live wisely and well. However, I believe I can suggest something that's even more important than a knowledge of oneself. It's the advice, "Control thyself." Even though it sounds paradoxical, self-control and self-discipline bring happiness, whereas license and indulgence bring misery. Since our general theme has to do with Christian attitudes, it's to be expected that something should be said about the home, where attitudes, Christian or otherwise, are formed. More on this in a moment, following this message in song.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with a ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
All of us are aware that not all children receive this kind of disciplined guidance that's necessary for happy, mature adult life. We've all seen spoiled brats, I suppose, who had not received this proper attention from their parents. Permissive, indulgent parents rear obnoxious children, but more, they rear unhappy, frustrated children. The happy children are those who've been disciplined, of course, with love, to the point that they've grown into adulthood, respecting the rights and the needs of others and conforming to the necessary rules of society. When we're young, it's absolutely imperative that there be external controls and restraints placed upon us. Otherwise, we would destroy ourselves. Or if not that, we'd grow up to be barbarians indeed. The process of growing up, of becoming mature, is largely a process of transferring these external controls placed upon us by parents, teachers, and others into internal restraints. Only when we've reached the maturity to impose upon ourselves the self-discipline which causes us to respect the rights of others and to obey the rules of society can we claim to be adults. The home is crucially important in developing the inner restraints or self-discipline which is so necessary in order for life to be happy. In view of the fact that this discipline is so widely neglected in the American home of our day, it might be well to analyze some of the reasons for this neglect. There are, I think, at least four. First, discipline requires strength and courage on the part of parents. There are many parents who take the easy way out for the moment and allow things to drift along. The idea that everything will work out all right is widely held, but tragically misleading. Before one is old enough to marry, he ought to be mature enough to rear children. No young person should enter marriage until he's grown up. Only then is he in a position to have the strength and courage to administer the necessary discipline which children need. The easy way out is almost always the wrong way out. In the second place, proper discipline takes time. There needs to be time to study the entire situation, to listen to all sides on the question, and then to meditate upon the right decision. Many people who are apparently outstanding in their professions are notably inadequate in administering discipline in the home, largely because they have so little time to give to the matter. In the third place, discipline must come from disciplined lives. It's not possible for those who rebel against their own superiors to administer discipline to their children. Unless there is respect for authority and self-discipline on the part of parents, it's almost certain that they'll not be able to instill these qualities in their children. Then, fourth and finally, discipline must grow out of love. The child must realize that the parent loves him and has his good at heart. It was Augustine who said, "Love me and say anything to me and about me that you like." Richard Baxter, the famous English preacher of the last century, added, "We take all things well from one who always and wholly loves us." These are at least some of the factors that keep modern parents from being very effective in the disciplining of their children. Fortunately, each of these is a hindrance which can be removed if parents genuinely wish to do so. The future welfare of our nation depends upon a more effective teaching of discipline in the home. I'm convinced that it's this important. The New Testament often uses the word doulos when referring to Christians. The word's the Greek word for slave or bondservant. The Christian is one who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of his life, voluntarily becoming Christ's slave. Now this sounds like the end of freedom. This sounds as though one is entering into a life of misery. But just the opposite is the case. Listen to the brilliant young Jewish lawyer, Saul of Tarsus, who in his earlier years never found the peace of mind and certainty for which he longed. Then after committing himself to Christ, he wrote, "I have been crucified with Christ." Now remember, that was voluntary. "It is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith that is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." Galatians chapter 2. Here is a man who once had very different goals in life, a man who looked for personal advancement in the Jewish realm. But after he came to believe that Christ was the Son of God, he conformed his thinking to Christ's thinking. He did it so completely that he could actually say, "I've been crucified with Christ." The deep inner happiness in Paul's life is seen in such statements as these: "For which cause I suffer also these things, yet I'm not ashamed, for I know him whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to guard that which I've committed unto him against that day." 2 Timothy chapter 1. And then this one: "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I'll say rejoice." He wrote this from prison, incidentally. "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therein to be content. I can do all things in him that strengtheneth me." Philippians chapter 4. Then a little later, as a part of his final recorded words, "I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing." 2 Timothy chapter 4. I find it difficult to put it adequately into words, but the scriptures demonstrate over and over again that the only real freedom is found by those who submit themselves as slaves to Christ. At first, this sounds unbelievable. In fact, it's only after one has become a Christian that he can fully understand what this means. Those who demand freedom, protest against those who have the rule over them, and reject all of the institutions about them, never really find freedom at all. On the other hand, those who submit their wills to God's will find this life-filling freedom that they seek. When through the reading of the scriptures and through periods of meditation and prayer we ultimately come to submit our wills totally to God's will, we then find that sense of freedom that all men seek. If you would know real freedom, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Make known your faith by confessing him openly before men, as thousands and thousands have done back through the Christian centuries. And then in the most crucial act of all, repent of all past sins, turning away from the world, bringing your own stubborn will into subjection to Christ's will. Finally, submit to the beautiful act of baptism, a burial in water, followed immediately by a resurrection, in order that you may live in newness of life as a Christian. You'll find happiness beyond anything that you've ever known before. You'll find the real freedom which all men seek. I close by reminding you of Christ's own words, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself," literally, discipline himself, "and take up his cross and follow me." May the Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
This has been Herald of Truth with Batzel Barrett Baxter. Mr. Baxter is chairman of the Department of Bible at David Lipscomb College in Nashville, Tennessee. In this series of discussions on the general theme, Christian attitudes, today's message was entitled, "Discipline or Disaster." For a pre-printed copy of this provocative message, write to Mr. Baxter, Abilene, Texas. Ask for program number 275. Program 275. Thank you for being with us today, and thank you for the many responses that have come our way during this past week. Now, although this program is in its 21st year of continuous broadcasting, it's quite possible that some of you listening today have tuned in for the very first time. Now, you, along with our regular listeners, are invited to send in your Bible-related questions, as well as questions pertaining to whatever problems you're being called upon to face. Mr. Baxter and his staff are eager to be of assistance to you. And now this reminder, when you write, why not ask to be enrolled in a Bible correspondence course? The entire course is offered to you without cost or obligation. For Herald of Truth on television, check your local TV listings. Herald of Truth has been presented by Churches of Christ and interested individuals around the world and is produced by the Highland Church of Christ in Abilene, Texas. Next week at this time, the Lord willing, Batzel Barrett Baxter will present the third in this series of discussions dealing with Christian attitudes. His subject will be discipleship. Please plan to be with us. This is Brett Allison.